Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Bob Hoffman from the Master Circle Global, and I want to welcome you on to yet another remarkable conversation with another remarkable friend and colleague, a healer's healer. Today, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Howard Cohen, who is a chiropractic kinesiologist, and for over 25 years has inspired patients to achieve their ultimate health through natural, holistic, and alternative healthcare. Howie believes the body was designed to heal itself as long as it's given the right building blocks in order to do so and is allowed to function free of interference. He's the founder of the Cohen Health Institute, and his specialties, listen carefully, include but are not limited to applied kinesiology, neuroemotional technique, neuromodulation technique, total body modification, Corin-specific technique, and quantum neurology. Howie, welcome on. I know you're ridiculously busy, but thank you for giving up some of your precious time to participate in the Practice Upgrade Summit.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Bob, and I really appreciate you doing this, and I really appreciate everybody who's watching this right now from all over the world at all times, taking their precious time to spend it with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's get right into the core of today's conversation. With your vast knowledge and experience with healing fundamentals, with being a healer's healer, someone with where other doctors come to you when they're not well, I'd love you to share just a few keys that all healers should be focused on to consistently produce outstanding, reproducible clinical results. What are some of the key things you found in your career and all your studies, the essential four or five or six or seven things that everyone should be well versed on?
Wow. There's a lot, and yet it's really simple. I think the number one thing is to be a champion for the person in front of you. They're scared. They're ignorant. They're filled with all kinds of different things when they're put in front of you. They got enough energy and belief to get through the door, either from a referral or something that a meeting you or someone you knew or someone reached out to them or you did in some virtual way. And they are in front of you right now. And they're full of questions and doubts and hope and all of that in a mixed bag. And I believe outside of every single technique that I've ever learned and quite a few, and although it really helps make it happen to be able to deliver the goods and give people the result they're looking for in their health, being able to transfer certainty to that person sitting in front of you, that you care, that you're there with them, that you're on their level, that you're going to do everything within your power, led by love, to help them move forward in their health. We tell people when they come to our clinic, they're going to get better whether they like it or not, which means that if we can't help them, I can't help them, one of our doctors can't help them, I'll personally find somebody that can, so that the next person with their presenting picture or health concerns come to our office, we'll either know how to fix it because we would have now had to go learn how to do that, or I wouldn't know who to send them to because I had to rely on somebody outside our clinic in order to do that. And we tell everybody that we're spidered out in 100 plus clinics around the world because I believe in the bottom of my heart that it doesn't matter what can ever happen to a human being's health, that there is a chiropractor somewhere in the world that has the skill set and the knowledge to put that person back together. And as we both know, and because of all of your travels around the world, and you've helped people become successful as a doctor in this profession, that may be doing 80 different techniques that, yes, you can go to 80 different chiropractors. It could look like 80 different experiences, and yet they can get from point A to point B. And none of us are ever arrogant enough to think that we're fixing everybody, helping everybody. It does take a village. It takes forums like this. Your Practice Upgrade Summit, it takes people getting together, even though we're at a time when people are not, to make sure that we share ideas so that we're helping each other's villages and communities move forward. So, I mean, we can get into the different techniques, but I really just wanted to make sure that that point was made, that it really doesn't matter, because I've seen some of the most clinically brilliant doctors. Many have been my mentors, and I've seen them disappoint where, although there was a lot of cool things done for that person's health, they walked out bewildered. They walked out not sure if they were better, and they didn't walk out being educated as to why they were there, and more importantly, why they should come back, and even more importantly, why they should never leave, why they should be a part of that experience for the rest of their life. Because, you know, health doesn't happen in an instant. I mean, it's something that's built over time. And you know as well as I do, there's only one way to coast in life, and that's down. You're either building your health or it's going away. So to me, I think the number one biggest technique and thing for everybody to know is that you could add the techniques later, but if you're not leading with love and you're not leading with certainty, it's going to be an uphill road for you to get this person to where they want to be.
Yeah. Just a beautiful answer, Howie. Just absolutely beautiful. You lead with love. You lead with your heart. You connect to people. I often coach my doctors that we have to learn to communicate heart to heart, not head to head, because mm-hmm. that's where the real connection is. And what I also loved about your answer is you gave the framework of your answer around the mindset of the doctor, the mindset of the healer, the mindset of the servant. What I'd love you to do now, because you just knocked that out of the park, I'd like you to switch over and answer the same basic question from a healing perspective, but not a mindset perspective. For example, do we need to focus on the gut microbiome? Do we need to make sure vagus nerve is working properly? Is it the sphenoid bone or the atlas or the sacrum? From a structural neurological perspective, what are the two or three or four most important things in your experience?
That was a great question. So being deluged with information and the evolution of understanding, the evolution of information, and ever having to evolve what happens in the patient experience. What I'm saying today could have been different 2 years ago, and it might be different 2 years from now. So here we are at this moment. I do believe in one thing. And if someone's a muscle tester, and even if you're not, and if you're not for some reason, and you did not have a great experience with that for some reason, and that's why you're not, if I could ask one favor, and whether I do it, one of my doctors does it, one of the tens of thousands of well-trained practitioners does it in so many different techniques, that you give it another shot. Because as we say, if you're not testing, you're guessing. And although I love the brilliance of what medicine has been able to evolve to in many parts of medicine, I know that we as a profession have had some adversarial moments philosophically with the medical profession, that I do believe there is so many magical and clinically brilliant diagnostics that are overlooked that this profession has given birth to because they look weird. And you know, the first time I saw somebody test a muscle in front of a room, you know, at a lecture, I actually walked out. I mean, I thought it was a bunch of crap. You know, both of us being from New York, you know, as we say, we're born with our arms crossed. We come out of the womb like this. You know, there's our opinion and our opinion. So somehow we already know everything. So,
NYC, New York cynical, right?
That's right. I think we've evolved a bit. However, it's never totally out. So, but we know enough to know if something repetitively delivers the goods, even if it looks weird, we got to give it props. And that's fortunately what I did. It steered my practice for the last 30 years now. And it's been a big thing. So, you know, what do we check in our office? Yes, we check people's gut. Yes, we check their nervous system. Yes, we check their cranial nerves. Yes, we check their myotomes. Yes, we check their sensory system. Yes, we check we use different lab diagnostics to let us know where they're at. A lot of times it's for them, but it's also good for us to know and see and measure and track and pace what kind of how our interventions are working for them. I think the thing to know the most is that anything could cause anything in the human body. And although you have five people that present with a chief complaint of Crohn's disease, one may have their driving force of their Crohn's being a suppressed emotional event that happened in their life, where NET would be the intervention. And in some cases, even then, some cases it was small intestine originated, or some places it was colon derived, other places it was stomach pancreas in origin. And then there are physical reasons as well. As you know, as I do from years of doing this, that you can have physical trauma. Our good friend Dee Dee Palmer, trauma, toxicity, and autosuggestion. You can have physical trauma in the form of a subluxated atlas from birth, a whiplash from falling down off the balance beam in your gymnastics class, to any kind of car accident, to any kind of simple daily life that we brushed off because the child stopped crying. We thought they were good. But as we know, as the twig has bent, so grows the tree. And although their symptom may have shown up today, their problem may be 20 years ago in origin. So we do have ways where we priority test using different types of manual muscle testing to give us feedback. Again, the best of the best of my mentors have always said, don't ever let muscle testing be your end-all diagnostic tool. Let it be a part that helps guide you while you use the existing measurements of the day to help you and help validate that for the person in front of you who lives in that world and needs to see that as well. So it's not just what we feel, it's just what they are able to understand and take home with them as well. And then there's the litany of biochemical nutritional things. So we look at four major areas. We look at infectious agents, bacteria, fungus, yeast, parasites, all those types of things, and the effect they may be having on people at that moment. We look at heavy metals and the effect that they may be having on people in that moment, your leads, your mercury, your cadmiums, all the things that they're exposed to, your aluminums from the different things that are ejected in them or dropped in them from the sky. Mm-hmm. We look at their litany of toxic chemicals, your glyphosates, your MSGs, your GMOs, all these things that are irreparably changing our chemistry, changing our gut microbiome, changing our DNA now. And even more so, we look at allergic patterns, or more precisely hypersensitivities, you know, to mostly your main foods, so, you know, gluten, dairy, soy, peanuts, nuts, all these different nightshades, things that people may or may not have thought have been an issue for them. And these days we're looking more electromagnetically as well, with the introduction of all the different devices that we use, because it's something that we cannot see that is affecting us each and every day. And then from all those areas, they outsprocket. So we're primarily looking at people how to strengthen from the inside. I spent about a decade of my life lecturing people on filtering their air, their water, their personal care products, making sure they're clean of these chemicals. You know, I did that back in the 90s. And then here we are, 2020. You can't even keep up with the things that we're exposed to on a daily basis. So we had to actually shift our time and energy back to the original tenet, which is strengthen the host. We cannot keep up with the amount of things that affect us physically, nutritionally, emotionally. It's all about the terrain. It's all about the host. It's all about the strength and flexibility and durability of the nervous system, which you have taught doctors to actually explain to their patients without sounding like a neuroscientist, so they could get through a visit and still make money and feed their families and actually leave the patients something that they can tell their friends to keep them referring. Everything from the gut inside out, we can go on forever. But that's really, to end that segment, it's really about prioritizing, honoring the body, knowing that that person is not like the five people before them, even though they present exactly the same way.
Beautiful answer again. Just great. Very clear, very honest, very humble. You know, Howie, for me, I used to always tell my patients that the number one thing I always loved about chiropractic, still love about chiropractic, is at its simplest core, it's a language. You have to learn how to ask the body questions, and it always tells you what's going on. And you can't put your ego or your prejudices involved. You just have to listen what the body says, do what it tells you, and go back and retest. And if you did what was necessary, you're going to see an improvement. And that's the bottom line. I've always been a bit frustrated by the talking out of both sides of the mouth by many in our profession, where we talk about the fact that symptoms aren't important. And yet the second their symptoms go away, we think we have great results.
Right.
When there's something so much deeper, the symptoms are the last thing that shows up in the disease process, but it's also the first thing that goes away in the healing process. And we have to be able to document the functionality or the dysfunctionality of the patient to be able to really know that we help them, that we didn't just patch up their problem. And yep. I think that's why you're so successful at what you do. Now, in your answer, you mentioned neuroemotional technique, NET. I'd love you to talk in more depth about why this is so important. You also even referenced Dee Dee Palmer, who talked about the three T's, thoughts, traumas, and toxins, 125 years ago. And I think as a profession, we've put a lot of emphasis on the traumas, the physical problems, and how to correct them, the subluxation. I think we've put a lot of emphasis on the chemical problem with toxicity and balance and nutrition. I think we've put way, way too little emphasis. We basically have ignored and pretended it wasn't even there, the emotional component. I think the emotional stress is the most common, the most severe, and the most neglected by today's doctor. So could you talk about why NET is so important and how you utilize it in the clinic?
Sure. Without a doubt, I was blessed to be exposed to NET as a student 31 years ago now, and have hit the ground running using it throughout my practice. Throughout chiropractic school, I was exposed to applied kinesiology, which talked about a triad of health, which was a physical health, nutritional health, and emotional health. And yet 90% of the techniques, maybe 96% of the techniques, were either structural or biochemical techniques in applied kinesiology, with about 4% for emotional health. And yet I remember meeting Scott Walker, one of our chiropractic brethren who you know and we all love, and has, you know, walked through Barnes & Noble one day and did a simple measurement that where he said there were this much many books on structural health, this many on diet nutrition, but all the way out here on mental and emotional health. So people don't write books that don't sell. People don't publish books, and definitely bookstores don't sell books that don't sell. So you got to go, you know, you got to go where the food is, right? You got to go where people are looking, shopping, fishing, everything. And they're under a lot of stress. You've done brilliant lectures over the years on showing how stress affects the nervous system and how you can use the nervous system to release stress and vice versa. And there are brilliant profession with the brilliant people in it have evolved quite a few techniques. NET is not the only one, but it is the most user-friendly and one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic, that I've seen in this profession. And so that's why we use it. I think our office has more certified NET practitioners than any place on the planet. And it's led to a more sane practice and staff, where people, when they come, they go, oh, you've had associates with you for 26 years. You have staff that have been with you for over 15 years. There's another with 9, 11, you know. Yeah, and we still like each other. So I do attribute a lot of that to NET and the ability to dump the baggage at the door, not just say it, but having techniques and ways to help do it. Although what happens for the patients is magical. I do believe it was a gift for our profession, And I really hope those who have never had it done, get it done. And like many techniques, it's not that everyone needs to do everything, but everybody needs to subscribe to everything. They really do. I mean, you know, there are people that go, I can't do that. It's not my practice style. But I implore you, get under care from someone within an hour from your office, and there will be someone within an hour of your office that is certified to do NET. It'll make your life better, make your family life better, it'll make your patients better indirectly by making you better. I mean, I would liken that to, let's say, although I do a lot in quantum neurology, I really have a lot of love and respect for the functional neurologists in our profession. I think they're among the most brilliant and are doing some of the most amazing work in and outside chiropractic and the nervous system. And although I don't know if that's my lane, I've had many associates do it so that I can make sure I'm providing it. And I have many docs in my neighborhood that I refer people to when I recognize that it's something outside my highest skill set. And then I myself make sure that I get checked in ways by people who do things in our profession that I think are brilliant that I just don't do. And I think it's what keeps us together. In, I think it is our strength going forward. I think it is a way to make this divisiveness of straight versus mixer become something where we take a more aerial view of, as in my philosophy, is that we have always been this ultra super straight philosophical clinic that does some techniques that, if done on an isolated basis, may look like a mixing allopathic philosophy. There is definitely an allopathic way to do applied kinesiology and its related techniques, and there is a functional, principled way to do it as well. And that is what I believe, the way we do it. That's the way I like to teach it. That's the way I like to live it, show it. And I do believe the technique, as they say, you know, there's always a thing in our profession, a lot of the old time, old school, some of your colleagues in other companies that were, their techniques are irrelevant. It's all about how you know, what you bring and the love. And all these things are true. They make the technique less relevant. However, because listen, you know, if you can't market your way out of a wet paper bag, doesn't matter how good you are. Yes, you will eventually have people to just send you. They'll send you people with the caveat of, listen, this person is curt, or they have no bedside manner, or let me tell you how to do it and just go, and what to say and what not to say. I mean, they come with instructions. I hope that I am not the doctor that needs instructions when people refer to me. However, maybe for some I am. But you know what I'm talking about. So, right. I mean, at this, I think we must do, I don't know where I'm taking this, but I think we must be a little bit of both. I mean, I have mentors in this profession that I love to death, which have really shared skills with me that I think are priceless in practice. But I would liken them more to a P.T. Barnum than a George Goodhart. And then I've had the George Goodharts and the Gonsteads and the Desjardins and all these different masters who, you know, were not necessarily the most social and weren't as dynamic. Some were, but as dynamic in front of the room and enrolling. But God, thank God they existed, or we would just be letting a lot through our doors without, you know, getting from point A to point B with their health. So, yeah.
Very well said and very kind of you, the way you put that. I still want to stay on this emotional platform for a few minutes.
Thank you.
First, I think, you know, this is a part of what we're supposed to be doing that has been ignored for way too long. It's not taught in school, any of the schools. Most people are shocked that the first council that ever existed in chiropractic, advanced council, was the Council on Mental Health in Chiropractic. B.J. Palmer had the Clearview Sanitarium taking care of mentally ill patients with remarkable results. My first week in chiropractic school, I got a book written by a Dr. Schwartz called Mental Health in Chiropractic. But soon thereafter, it just kind of disappeared from the land, so to speak. I think chiropractors feel ill-equipped, ill-prepared, and I think they don't want to become psychologists or psychiatrists for their patients. They don't have the time or temperament or training for that. And I would like you to just for a minute or two speak on that, because it doesn't require any of that. It requires, once again, a big heart and lots of empathy and caring and wanting to get to the cause of the cause of the cause of the problem, and just being there for that person in front of you, and then customizing, which to me is at the heart and soul of good doctoring, customizing what you say, how you say it, what you do, how you do it to best serve that patient in front of you.
So I think you've done a really good job of kind of bridging that gap over the last decade of showing people that they don't need to be a neurologist or a psychiatrist. They just need to understand the duality of the nervous system. Although, again, it's a simplification, but it's one that patients can grab onto to get them in the game of understanding the brilliance of their body. And that is the autonomic nervous system. That is whether this person in front of me is in a sympathetic mode where they're in fight or flight, where it's going to be a nightmare trying to get them to heal, sleep, function, digest, be happy, or if they're in a parasympathetic healing mode, which is going to have them sleep well, digest their food, feel at peace, default to happiness rather than depression and sadness and despair and hopelessness. And there are fundamental, simple things that you can do in your office that don't even involve NET that would have them do it. I know you've showed many of them at your seminars that I've been to, whether it's an outside thing, something like a brain tap or another modality. You have many different people that have different, what I call wellness therapies. People call them unassisted therapies, kind of assisted a little, but they're wellness therapies and they're adjuncts that help us. What do they do when they're not on our table? What can they do to support what we are doing for them that's consistent and with what we say and what we're telling them and what we believe? And those are some modalities that they can do. There are also simple things done in functional neurology, quantum neurology, NET, all these different techniques that really are designed to move them out of that sympathetic tone and move them into a parasympathetic. And then there are ways to help entrain them to be there rather than just same bone, same time, same place. This is just what I do. It's right. Arrogant and ignorant to say that. Now, if you do the same thing, the same time, but you're doing it because you have neurologic and or other kind of evidence and data that you can measure pre and post to that journey for them, and usually will come with the result of they are functioning better in life, not just feeling better. I wanted someone to have me feel better, I'll give them an aspirin, but, you know, send them to a comedy show. Anybody that we, you know, there's a lot of ways that are more cost effective for people to just go feel better, but they're not going to function better. We need to get them to function better. And eventually we need to get them functioned better without being dependent on us. The consciousness shift that is important to me in practice from people going from whatever care they're in now to lifetime care is that we are not going to be in the mode of fixing you. We are going to be in the mode of strengthening your body so they could work on its own while we're always trying to get it from good to better to great. And as we say, and what I said before, you're either coasting down or you're building your health. I'm going to invite you and enroll you. It's not going to happen overnight because all you're focused on is your gut, you're bleeding out your butt, whatever your thing is, that you've been to 12 doctors, you spent all the money, you have a little bit left and you're rolling the dice on our clinic. Let's just get you some hope and belief and some evidence that your body is can do more than you've been invited to believe. And then as this journey goes, we're going to educate you on what's possible. Because doctor comes from Latin word docere, which means to teach. Our goal is to teach how to take care of yourself so you're not coming to get fixed, but you're coming to be better. No different from any sport you're doing or any personal growth thing you're doing. Hopefully you're doing it not to try and fix yourself because that's never ending and it's miserable. But if you're coming to build your health, knowing that you're better than you were when you left, you can never lose. It's never bad treatment. It's never bad experience. It's always good use of your money and time and energy. So that's really kind of the most important thing for us. We love, love, love NET. We do. We love it because it's a wow technique. Listen, chiropractic is what's called a wow technique. What is a wow technique? A wow technique is they come in, you tell them about it for 2 seconds, you do it, and the first thing out of mouth is, wow, you know, when someone gets that adjustment, not the little crack, crack, but they get their vertebra set the way it was designed, not a manipulate. No one wants to be manipulated. That's what osteopaths, I was going to say, what's osteopaths do? That's what they used to do. They don't even do it now, but they just give drugs now. There are some good ones, but most of them give drugs. Sorry, osteopaths. I love you too. So I have great ones. You have great ones. We know many of are taking your courses. Cone hates osteopaths. No, I'm just kidding. So, but everyone needs a little adjustment. They do. And it's a wow. NET is a wow. It's something you can do in less than 3 to 5 minutes that is transformational. Not just feeling good for them. They're not the same. If you give somebody a real adjustment, if you set an atlas, if you move an L5, if you decompress a T12 on L1, whatever your favorite bone or technique is, everyone knows what that's like for a human. They go, I feel like my lights have been turned back on. There's nothing. There's no other profession that has it that instantly than our profession. And if we could just celebrate that amazing thing that can happen in an instant, which is the same thing that drove the Clearview Sanitarium, which is the same thing that drove these doctors to write books on mental health and chiropractic, which is the same thing that drove BJ Palmer and his family and the people that were willing to go to jail. Right now, people are not even willing to pull their mask down to talk to a patient. What happened? What happened? What's going on? Anyway, so I digress. It's really, I mean, it's the magic of our profession that never gets old if you're living it.
I used to tell my patients, I can always measure the effectiveness of my adjustment by the width of your smile. Because that in that wow moment, they just have this smile you can't wipe off their face.
That's right.
Beautiful thing. Going back to your comment about the autonomic nervous system, people are either moving towards sickness and disease or they're moving towards health and wellness, depending on sympathetic, parasympathetic. It's just that simple. And if lay people actually understood that, if doctors actually understood that, it's a game-changing concept, isn't it?
It is. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, so let's now shift a little bit, Howie, and let's talk about the Cone Health Institute.
Sure.
Why don't you share with the thousands of doctors watching this, how many doctors in the Cone Institute, how many staff, where do you get new patients from, how do you market and promote your clinic? Can you just kind of give a general overview of some of that? I'm sure the people watching this would be really interested.
Sure. Well, first, for some peace of mind for everybody, and especially anybody that's really might be in a part of the world where they're having struggles with the things that are going outside their four walls, that it's more important what's going on inside your four walls than what's going on outside the four walls. Meaning, like, this is, even though we've had some banner years in this clinic, 2020, although the joke of every meme, is our best, most profitable, highest collections, busiest year ever. Without doing the number one thing that I've done for 29 of those 30 years to get new patients. Just so you know, that is, you know, if this is like a perpetual machine, you know, if you've been always been creating this perpetual machine based on a consciousness, without getting too airy-fairy for people, that is exuded from your clinic, I do believe people see it as a light and they want it. The darker it gets outside, the brighter your clinic will shine. There's nothing you have to do. It's what you've been doing. Now more than ever, people are looking for authenticity, honesty, transparency, and just what's freaking real. Because there's so much stuff around us that's not. And people know in their heart when things are not right, when they're different than they should be. And that's what we've been. People walk in our clinic. It looks like our clinic did 8 months ago, unlike a lot of other clinics do. It looks exactly the same. People are looking the same. They're acting as if the world is not living through a leper contagion experience. We still embrace the immune system as the system that keeps us well. And if we feed it, with the things that's always worked physically, nutritionally, emotionally, that it's set up to win. And we have like 7 chiros right now. Every chiropractor in our clinic has to do at least 5 techniques, 3 that we recommend. They need a physical one, a nutritional one, and an emotional one so that they can compete with their fellow doctors. And they need at least 1 or 2 that they do that no one else does, because if everybody's the same, it's very hard to inter-refer. I'd like to make sure that everybody, there's always somebody that does something where I can say, you know, you might want to see Dr. So-and-so, they do Neuralink. You might want to see this person, they specialize in core and specific technique. Dr. Charlie, he does, CRA and teaches it around the world. So there's all these different techniques that we have that we want to make sure someone at least, and then there's a tremendous amount of overlap so people can cover for each other when they travel or teach, educate, or just live their life, because we recommend that people have a balanced life. Otherwise, if people are seeing you being consumed by your practice, they're going to go, it sounds good, but I'm not going to hang out here because this is not the life I want to replicate. So we have also we have like body workers. I don't like to call them just massage therapists because it's the same thing. They need to do at least 5 things. So whether it's lymphatic drainage, or they'll do cranial sacral technique or other techniques as well that are more body work. We even have a holistic esthetician. I have a 3rd generation Korean acupuncturist. We have 2 naturopaths. I like the naturopathic profession because it's kind of like a healthy bridge between medicine and what we do. So they can do a lot of techniques we do, and they can help people understand when and why they're using certain medications at certain times and when they're not. Obviously, we're very heavy on the holistic philosophy more than an allopathic philosophy. So, but people feel more comfortable talking to people that still live with 1 foot on that side and are educated more on that side, so that they can feel that they're getting their labs done, these different tests we'd like to see. And the beauty of all the different things, from whether it's genetic testing or stool testing or all these cool things and therapies. We also have what we call a wellness room, where we have 0 gravity chairs in there, where they can get things like PEMF or a frequency specific microcurrent. They can get like an Avicen done. They can do whole body vibration. They can do brain tap. They can do detox foot baths. They can do different laser technology. We have an infrared sauna. I'm sure I'm forgetting many things and many people, and I apologize if they're watching and I forgot or didn't mention them. They still are as important to everything. Staff, we usually have about 4 staff. We have a clinic director, Jessica, office manager, Roxanne, and we have 2 supporting staff. We really need another one right now. We have a huge nutrition apothecary. I have over 2,000 nutritional products from 100 different companies from around the world. Not because I like inventory, it's a nightmare, but we always want to make sure we have on hand what somebody needs. We do not do the online store. We do not do a store. We don't do that. Everything is specified for a person. Otherwise, it's not on our shelf, which makes it even more mental as to understand. Yeah. And see, everybody's a different biochemical individual. I mean, these 5 products may look the same, but they'll behave differently functionally and biochemically with somebody. And we want to make sure that we have what people need. And like we said before, as important is that we are spidered out in hundreds of clinics around the country. So if somebody comes in and they have XYZ health issue and we're testing them and it turns out it goes to a root canal that they've had in their mouth from 9 years ago, or it has to, you know, we are not going to handle that. Ultimately, we're going to prep their body, make them strong, and we send them to a biological dentist. And we have several that we refer to in our area. There are times that they have something going on in their gut where they might need, I don't have hyperbaric in my clinic right now, so I'll send them to a hyperbaric place, or I'll send them to get a colonic because we don't have that in our clinic. You know, not everything needs to be in your clinic, and you can still believe in it and enjoy it. I don't know about enjoy it on the latter, but just to get people to where they need to get for whatever they need to have at that moment.
Beautiful. And I know exactly what you meant when you said what you said before, that for 29 out of 30 years, your primary way of getting new patients was lecturing, speaking. You're an advocate of that cliche, speak and grow rich. So am I, by the way. But nowadays, is it like all referrals? Is it social media marketing? Is it events? What is it that you're doing that's attracting the new patients?
You know, it's a little bit of both. I still believe, and we have taken a little break on doing our weekly health class where we have people come in because we like to preserve our office the way it is. It is an oasis where people can still see a smiling face and get a hug, even though they can't see that too many other places right now. And we've opened our clinic up to the public for those health classes. We do not blast it out. It's 100% referral to the health classes. So we've always done it that way because we're looking for people that are looking for us. We're just, you know, we're not, it's not the home for wayward people. This is people who are looking to go from good to great with their health. And so it's not for everybody. It costs a little more than the average chiro clinic. But we're looking for people that are committed to their health. I believe speaking is the most important thing for so many different reasons. We can talk for hours about it, but in a minute, I would say number one is you got to tell the story. You got to tell a story. Generations live on in our stories. And those, and now more than ever, those who control the media, those who control the internet, those who control social media can dictate the stories that are being told. And they're not always the stories that are real. They're the stories that serve an agenda by the people who control that. And civilizations have survived. Traditions have survived. Through storytelling from the elders to the children. And that must be maintained. So I have always been an advocate of that. The other thing, logistically, you can tell the same story, chiropractic story, or whatever your story is, to 50 different people 50 different times, or you can tell it once with a lot more energy, with a lot more energy in the room to 50 people at once. I like that. So we reward people for taking the time and energy to take time out for their education. We have adapted it during these, let's call them interesting times, to honor. It's a complimentary initial exam with people. If they take the time out, what used to be to go to the health class, now it's show an interest that they would have wanted to go. And then we have a lot of new docs that have started in our clinic, and they usually see the new docs unless they're willing to wait for me. And then we'll spend a few extra minutes, an extra 10 minutes, kind of giving them the abridged version and invite them to look at other things that are out there as far as people that have telling the story on our behalf. Social media is really, it's again, you could do so much with it. You could also hurt yourself with it too. By putting things on social media that should be personal on your business and vice versa. Not everybody's prepared for every message and everyone sees every message. And remember, if you haven't figured it out yet, everything in the world could be soundbited by anybody at any time to make you look as brilliant or as scary as they want it to, now more than ever. So I use social media cautiously, but I will not be silent either as to what I believe and what I think is going to help humanity.
Beautiful, beautiful. We only have another minute or two left, Dr. Cohn, and I'd love you to just spend some of that time with my last thought or question for you. And this has just been brilliant work, very practical, very upfront, very honest, very genuine. Here's my last question. What do you do to keep yourself strong? What do you do to keep your, and I'm not talking about immunity strong, I mean belief strong, mindset strong, heart strong. What do you do to keep yourself at that level of intensity to be able to handle all of that?
Well, I like to surround myself with people that make me look like I'm not doing anything. You know, that age-old thing will never get old of you're the sum total of the five people you hang out with the most. And although some of my mentors are no longer alive, I can listen to audio recordings of them and still feel that the mission through the ages and through the ethos and my responsibility to carry the torch. There are many now that are crusaders that for our profession, not as many as I'd like to see, and some that once were are strangely silent. Which is this conversation for another time. So if it is to be, it's up to we. And so I really control what's in my ear. That is what keeps me energized. Obviously, you got to move or you lose it. So, you know, I've hired a trainer this year. Why everyone else is adding on pounds, I've been taking them off. So it's not easy. Never is. I make sure that I get adjusted and treated every week, at least once, usually more than once. And because you can't fill from an empty glass, and you gotta take care, you know, secure your life mask first before helping others. That never gets old either. The best and most is to make sure that I always check in to remind myself that I am just an agent of something way higher than me that I could only at best have a pinpoint of understanding about, but a mountain of appreciation for, and you can call that whatever you want.
Beautiful. Hey, to paraphrase Mother Teresa, we're just pencils in God's hand, aren't we?
I love it.
Howie, thank you so much for this. Brilliant work, brilliant thinking, big heart. No wonder you're a healer's healer. I only hope the people watching this took some clear notes and, more important, take some clear action to get closer to that authentic, genuine self that they are, to become that healer's healer that's inside of them, it's inside of all of us, that they start speaking heart to heart instead of head to head, speaking their truth, not being silenced. You just had some real pearls of wisdom in today's conversation. And I know the people who are going to watch this, they're going to come away different and better for it. And I know that that's what your mission is anyway. So a mission accomplished. Dr. Howie Cohn, thank you so very much. Thank you for contributing to the Practice Upgrade Summit. Thank you for being my friend. And thank you for being an icon in our profession.
Well, Dr. Bob Hoffman, thanks for having me. And I'm excited to see all the other speakers. So I hope everybody who's watching this is watching the whole program because it's beyond needed.